What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 287, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Just trying to get used to these new headphones.
Yeah, and
everything if it lined up before the show, making it look like changes 10 minutes ahead is not smart.
It looks like we have the same headphones on.
I think we do have the same headphones.
Ryan does this thing where he gets a piece of tech, which he got like a month ago. Yep. And right before we're supposed to do something important, he installs it, and then usually it doesn't work. And then he's, you know, for half an hour, he's trying to get it to work while we're trying to do something important like this podcast or streaming or something.
Well, I couldn't get this to work. I mean, there were no issues with getting it running. It's just, I just waited till last minute to like plug the dongle in and update IQ and make sure everything was configured properly.
Living on the edge. So these headphones, which again, we covered, I think, 2 weeks ago on the podcast, I believe. Yeah. These are the HS80s from Corsair. So they're wireless and all that. But I wanted to ask you, since you had to upgrade to version 4.0 of IQ, what do you think of version 4.0?
I mean, I've literally spent 10 minutes with it. It's been installed on my machine for probably 15 minutes. Everything ported over. I just ran the installer, so I appreciate that as a piece of software, right? Like my dashboard had everything and looks very similar to it as it did previously. All my devices showed up, but I haven't really made any configuration changes. There's some things I know I'll have to get used to as far as adjusting lighting or, you know, fan curves, things like that. But so far, so good.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I always wanted to know, because it's like it does feel like a completely different piece of software going.
It's similar, but there are a lot of differences I can see already. Yeah.
Gotcha. So in the live chat, if you are in the live chat, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, definitely say hi. Pierce in the chat, he said he's been listening to the podcast for a while on Spotify and decided to tune in live. So thank you and hello. Thanks for coming out live.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you guys didn't know, obviously we do the live stream now we're back to Wednesdays, but every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m., 5:30 Pacific. But if you missed the live stream and you want to catch it later, we're on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. So like Pierce said, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, I don't know all the other ones, but we're on a bunch. So you can definitely find us. Moby is in the chat on Facebook and he said, hey, what's going on? Good to see you here as well. But let's jump into news, or not news. Let's jump into the review that I did get done this week. And
it's
if
a
you
big
guys
one. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, it's big, and I have it here, and I'll show you guys in a second. But if you did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're talking about this week. So if you wanted to click through and kind of read what I'm going to be telling you on the screen, you can go ahead and do that. But the review this week was a big one. It was Zotac's GeForce RTX 3090 Amp Extreme Holo. Now, this card sits as Zotac's flagship RTX 3090. And if you didn't know, when the 3090 first launched, most companies, like after, you know, add-in board partners, they only had one 3090, and it was a stock 3090. While it might have had a custom cooling solution, Zotac was called the Trinity. All the clocks were all referenced. There was hardly any overclock cards at the 3090 launch. You know, it's been a while. That it's kind of crazy to think that launched back in November.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out for quite a while. And that has given time for companies to get a hold of higher bin GPUs, to be able to work power designs for higher overclocks, to work on cooler designs that can handle, you know, those overclocks and all that kind of stuff. So that is kind of what we have here from Zotac. It's their highest overclocked 3090, 1815 megahertz GPU boost. That's a 120 megahertz boost over the reference 3090. the way that they're able to do that is they've increased the default board power or the TDP of the card to 420 watts, which is a lot. So the default for the 3090 is 350 watts. They've increased that to 420 watts, which is a lot of power. Real quick in the chat, old man says, hey guys, good to see you here as well, old man. So they were able to do that. That's kind of how they've gotten that high overclock. And this is actually going to be one of the highest overclocked RTX 3090s out there. You're not going to find many that are much higher than this. And if they are, they have insane cooling solutions or are like liquid cooled cards. Mm-hmm. As far as the card, which I guess I'll just show it to you guys. Let me make myself big before I do this.
This thing is huge.
It doesn't even fit in the frame right here. Like this yeah. thing is, this is
like, it can literally take up your whole widescreen. Yeah.
Like, this is huge. This is kind of funny. Actually,
it's comically huge. It's like, yeah, you got these big eyes.
It's a massive card. The actual length of the card, that's the most important thing when it comes to graphics cards, because your case options, the length of this is 355.9 millimeters. And that is troublesome for a lot of people because most cases will support up to 350 millimeters. 355 is over that. So yeah, this is huge. So you need to find a case that's going to support this. Beyond that, triple fan, triple slot cooler. So you can see, this is like so hard to do because it's so big. But you have your three cooling fans. They're all 100 millimeter fans. And then you have this massive triple slot cooler. You can see the heat pipes in there as well. Eight copper heat pipes, three distinct sections on the actual, like three distinct heat sink sections. You can kind of see them there. And they've made the heatsink actually 10% taller than the previous generation to handle the high overclock. So it's good to see that as well. Full cover metal backplate on the back, Zotac logo and all that kind of stuff. As far as power, let's flip it back over. As far as power, you have those three 8-pin PCI Express. And as I said, TDP on this card is 420 watts. And the cool thing about this card, why they call it the Holo, you can see this, like, you know, that crazy hologram kind of thing. I think it's pretty cool. And what's really cool is that there's RGB lighting under that, which I will show you guys as I set this down without dropping it. It's a huge card. it's kind of funny just how big the card is. I will show you guys the RGB lighting. So you have RGB lighting on the back of the card on the,
that's cool.
The Zotac Gaming logo. And then there's like these like lines that are on the back of the card. Those light up. You also have, like I said, that holographic section under that is some RGB lighting. So you have that there, and the card ships because it's so long, it ships with a metal GPU support bracket, which has a addressable 3-pin connector, which you can actually connect to the card itself. Which I did, which is this picture right here. It connects right under there in the card. And it just makes there's a lot of RGB lighting going on, and you can do some really cool stuff with all the effects. I think it looks great. You can see it there. Definitely needed this GPU support bracket. It's just too big of a card to not have one, really.
Yeah, I think that looks awesome. You know, and it's a nice add-in feature, you know, especially for the price, but to make sure that you trying to minimize GPU sag as much as possible. And then it's not just like some black bracket or some little stand towards the end. They've taken some time and added some lighting, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. So as far as performance, and I'm not going to go through all of the graphs, this is the fastest graphics card that we've ever tested. It beats their stock 3090, which I have, which is the 3090 Trinity. Obviously this overclock's not going to get you like 50 more FPS in games, right? It's not. Mm-hmm. But it is appreciated. You're going to get a few more FPS in games. Real world performance, you're not really going to see it all that much. But like I said, it's good to have the overclock. I appreciate the overclock there. So again, not going to go crazy into performance. Another interesting thing about this card, as you see in a lot of high-end cards, is that you have a dual BIOS. And in most graphics cards, the dual BIOS is a switch or a button on the card itself. It's a physical button. What Zotac has done is it's actually in their Firestorm software. It's called dual BIOS switch, and then you just select it, and then you hit yes to restart. Now, I think I know what Zotac was thinking here is, like, you know, if you want to switch your BIOS, you don't want to have to either open your PC up or go under your desk and hit a button, mm-hmm. right? Or even a lot of them are on, like, the rear of the, you know, of the PCI bracket, like they're back there. And that makes sense. But the problem with this is if for some reason I want to flash my BIOS and I brick my card, there's no way to switch it to the other BIOS because it has to be done via software.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So that's one of the issues I had with the card. That just doesn't make, again, I know what they were thinking, but there needs to be a physical button on the card itself. And then if we go to temperatures and power consumption, obviously with the 420 watt TDP increase, it is pretty idle and load. I mean, load score, it's at the bottom of the graph, obviously. You can see how much more power it draws than the normal 3090. Temperatures were pretty decent. Kind of like in the middle of the pack as far as load temperatures, which is really good. Noise level, a little bit loud, but not crazy loud. Not like crazy, crazy loud, but a little bit louder, but it needs to handle that overclock. So like I said, overall, I think it's, again, for being their flagship card, I think they've done a lot right. The dual BIOS power consumption is a little high. And again, your efficiency, when it gets that power consumption, that's kind of the trade-off, right? The higher overclock, the efficiency is going down. Like if you compare this to a stock 3090, the efficiency is not even close. So that's something that you have to think about. But I do think the holographic part of the card is really cool. The RGB lighting is excellent. It's great that it comes with the GPU support bracket that is metal. It's not plastic. It's actually metal. Full metal backplate, good cooling solution. While it is slightly louder than others, I gave it a 9 out of 10. Now, the pricing on this card, which you and I talked about a couple of days ago, this card, the MSRP is $2,799. And we haven't reviewed a graphics card in a while. And I honestly, because prices have been so crazy, and we've seen reports of like crazy aftermarket pricing, but I haven't looked at MSRPs in a while. And that crazy high price really stuck out to me because, again, Zotac's own Trinity card, which was the reference card, was $1,499 when it launched. Like when we reviewed it back in November, it was $1,499. So this card, which gives you a lot more, is like almost double the price.
It's close to twice the price.
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense. And then I was trying to figure this all out. I was like, why are MSRPs so much more expensive? It is the supply and demand issue. Parts cost more money now, so they can't sell these cards at those prices. They just can't. It's kind of sad. Yeah. But I mean, we were talking about too, like 20, and Zotac does have a deal right now where it's $25.99 directly from them. And last time I checked, let me see if it's still available. Like they're in stock. Like
Wow.
Oh, Cloudflare. I hate these things recently. Like, okay, this is a truck.
Yeah, right. And then you're like, well, what do they consider a truck? Is a fire truck a truck?
Oh, I have to do it again.
Oh, you didn't get them all.
How did I not get them all? That's all of them. I select that one. Let's see if it's still.
That's their queue. No. You're in line now.
So last time I checked. Number of users ahead of you in line, 16.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, anyways, when I first checked it, when they first told me about it, there were actually ones available, but apparently they're not available anymore. But in any case, you and I were talking that like $2,500 or even $2,700 got you, and a few years ago got you an insane system.
A really nice build. Yeah, like 27. I've never spent that much on a system, right? let alone a single component, a graphics card. I mean, I think I paid $529 or $579 for my 2070 Super, right? And then the rest of the components, they didn't even, I don't even know if I spent $2,000 on my current rig.
It makes me wonder how NVIDIA is keeping that MSRP on their reference cards.
I know, because they're still showing, you know, $1,499 as their MSRP, like, on Founders Edition.
So I was like, when I first saw the price, I was like, is Zotac just, you know, because of demand, are they increasing the prices? Then I looked at other 3090s. Across the board, they're all over $2,000, which is kind of...
The three other, you know, add-in board cards right now on NVIDIA's site for the 3090 are MSI at $2,269, another MSI card at $2,937, and a PNY card at $3,599.
Jeez, $3,599, that's crazy.
Like,
yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like...
It's not sustainable, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's like you have to get a reference. I mean, thank God that there are that NVIDIA is making reference
cards. Those things exist, yeah.
Yeah, like, but I assume they're going to have to be losing money, right?
Old man's got to rub it in about his full system build for $1,800 less.
Every time we talk about pricing, old man says that, you know, he bought his, which again, we think, you know, he talked about it initially, and we always say he's very smart. He bought his entire build with 3080 10900K for $1,800 last Christmas. And yeah, I mean, and again, that's like the way to do it. Like, my one buddy just texted me. He's like, I need to build a new computer soon. And I was like, dude, buy a pre-built. That's the only way you're going to get something for decent price. Like, because I know so many people that like had all this stuff in their card and they've been waiting for a card and just like never comes around. But yeah, so the pricing sucks, but it is what it is. Overall, I think the card's a good card. There's a lot to like about it. It's just anytime we do a GPU review since basically the beginning of 2021, it's been like you can't get them or the prices are crazy. And that's kind of what it is here. But yeah, and again, like I said, we don't know if it's all the manufacturers are like, okay, we're going to charge that much, or if it's like the component manufacturers being like, okay, there's this high demand, we're just going to keep on increasing our pricing. I mean, we did see that rumor about TSMC even increasing their chips pricing because of demand. So that's the crazy thing, because it's like, I always used to say, like, I used to live in Pittsburgh, and like, if you would look in certain areas of Pittsburgh that are around colleges, all the apartments were like complete dumps. But the reason they were is because the landlords had no incentive to make them better, because they knew college students would rent them for those crazy prices. It's the same thing here. People are going to buy the chips, or they're going to buy the cards because they're in such high demand. So they're like, okay, we're going to,
you know, why lower our price? We could even increase the price and they're still going to buy them.
Yeah. So that is the review, guys. Like I said, it's a massive card. Go ahead and check it out. And we will be dropping a dedicated YouTube video for it in the next coming days. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. That is the only review we have this week. But we have a pretty cool build for Case Mod Friday. And this week we have one called Meshlicious. Not Alicious, Meshlicious.
Yeah, you would think it would be Mesh of.
But it's Mesh. This is from Sneff Computer Design. If you haven't heard from him, he's one of my favorite, I probably have like a top five.
Yeah.
Favorite, like, just like their style. And this is like the clean style is definitely one of my favorites. So again, this is like a very cool small form factor build. It's done inside this crazy small form factor case called the SSUPD. Meshlicious, that's the name of the case, actually. But you can see, like, even this crazy small, very very small case, he built like a custom reservoir in there. That's on the opposite side. On the main side here, you know, you have just like a, you know, hard tubing, that is, yeah, hard tubing in here, which I assume like these really tight bends are like,
that's not that tight.
That's not that tight right up there? The top?
Nah.
Okay. But I like seeing people because, again, when it comes to small form factor, it's just hard. And it's just easier just to do like a simpler build. But this is just pretty cool to me. All the colors go good together as well. The matching memory. I'm pretty sure he painted the motherboard, the parts on the motherboard as well, all white to match everything. Yeah, it's just really cool. You can see that res back there. So, yeah, I think it's a really cool, just cool little small form factor build. Something you'd want to... I've been thinking about going, like, I don't know if you... No, you don't remember. It's like too long ago. I used to have, like, a really small form factor case. Or form
as your main rig?
Yeah, as my main rig. Wow. I just don't think I can do that anymore. But I've been thinking about it because it's just so nice to have something just really
small. I've never had anything smaller than a... MATX. I've never gone ITX.
I believe it was ITX. I'm almost positive it was like a little Thermaltake little box deal that I had for a while, but it was like a high-end desktop. I think it was like that might have been that first ASRock like high-end desktop, maybe X99 okay. type. I don't remember. This is like a long time ago. As you know, but in any case, check this build out. Like I said, I think it's really cool. Yeah. You know, so go ahead and check that out. And of course we do have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds on the site. If this one is not your thing, we have a ton. I go out and find them every week. So definitely, check that out. We'll move on to news this week and a bunch of different stories. First, this is really cool because we haven't heard really anything about this specific card. It's not listed on, I checked today, it's not listed on NVIDIA's website under their CMP cards. So if you're not familiar, their NVIDIA's CMP cards are their crypto mining cards, basically made so people don't buy the gaming cards. And of course, the newer, you know, NVIDIA GeForce cards or GeForce RTX cards, they're all hash rate limited, which means if you want to use them to mine, they're not going to be very efficient and you probably waste more money in electricity rather than, you know,
just not
making money off crypto. So that's why they have the crypto mining cards. But this new card was spotted. This is their CMP 170HX. So they had like a 30X, a 50X, and an 80X, I think, or something like that. But this card has a hash rate of 164 MH a second, which is insanely high. Like, I think the CMP 80X was like at around 86. This is basically double that. And the reason it's double that is because this card is really interesting. This is basically a reworked NVIDIA A100 accelerator. If you're not familiar with the A100 accelerator, that is their... And you call like, what'd you call that? Enterprise?
I think so. Like, I wouldn't call it workstation. No. Enterprise,
enterprise.
Machine learning. Just
yeah, machine. All of these A100 accelerators are in like things that do like AI, things that do like crazy big machines. So basically, it's one of those that's been reworked, has no display connections, has a single connector on it. And it's 4,880 CUDA cores, about 54% of the cores in the GA100. Basically, I think that NVIDIA didn't know what to do with the, you know, like the broken A100 GPUs. And this is a way to sell them to crypto miners, I guess.
Yeah.
And again, I'm a big fan of these. These are like really high hash rate. I don't know how much, it doesn't say how much these were. Again, this one isn't even listed on the NVIDIA website yet. But yeah, pretty cool. I would like to have a few of these handy.
Just running.
Yeah, just you running. So yeah, I assume we're going to hear more about this in the future. This is kind of just like a leaked pictures and data on this. So hopefully we see more info.
It's so funny the environments these things show up into. You know, they're just like these random desks and like, yeah, whose desk is this and where is this at? And that's always like the, yeah, story that I like, in addition to the actual, you know, product there, it's like, how'd this get here and who are you posting it? It's kind of funny.
Yeah. And just like we were talking about with the RTX 3090 review, pricing. So just recently, NVIDIA pricing on the graphics cards have gone up by 1800, or not 1800, that'd be crazy, 18% in Chinese markets, right after Ethereum crossed $3,900 per coin. And we have lists of some of the cards from different manufacturers and their price increases just over the past week. It's crazy how these are fluctuating like this.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers aren't insane. Well, I say that the 3070 Ti, right, almost $100 US difference. Some of them are pretty small or nothing too crazy, but yeah, it's never good to see price increases on GPUs that
I think,
number one, people just can't get, and when they can, they're just so expensive compared to what we've been used to.
I think it's not again, it's not only gamers, but again, miners, they're still making good money and they just keep on buying GPUs. You know what I mean? So it's just a bad, I was just thinking about today, like the market is just so bad right now. Unless
just a few weeks ago, it felt like we're like, oh, prices might be coming down. Right. And yeah, stock was showing back up. Nope, not anymore. And yeah, like old man said, he thought the Chinese government was cracking down on mining. Maybe not enough, or
yeah, to make a dent. I mean, a lot of these mining companies are moving to like Canada. Mm-hmm. Some are moving to the U.S. because it's less regulated for certain things. And there's like, they're still like hiding, you know, like I've seen some posts of like hidden crypto mining setups, different play, like big, like 1,000 cards, you know, just stealing electricity type thing. I mean, it's still going on. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's just like, it's such a bad time to, unless you're doing a pre-built, and unless, I mean, basically buy your graphics card first and then buy everything else after, because if you're not gonna,
you won't get, yeah, you'll be waiting on the graphics card.
Yeah.
And all your other components are, you're losing warranty time on them, you know, you're,
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think about losing warranty time. And then like, what I think is like the next gen comes out and you're like, wow, I've had this CPU sitting here doing nothing for 6 months, and now the new, like, you know, now the new thing comes out and it's like 30% better, 40% better. Now I'm stuck with this old thing, basically. Or like, yes, the new gen of like USB comes out or whatever, you know. So yeah, that definitely sucks. But talk about GPUs, they're a really interesting story if you're into hacking or you follow any of that. So typically, when it comes to malware or anything like that, a lot of times cyber criminals, they're able to store or gain access to store the malware in memory, like in your system, mm-hmm, memory. That happens a lot. But now they're actually able to do it in GPU memory. They found a new way to do it. Antivirus software can't detect it, which is even crazier. I don't know if the antivirus software isn't looking there or whatever it is. They was tested on Intel's UHD 620 630 graphics, Radeon RX 5700, GeForce GTX 740, GTX 650 discrete cards. We don't know if there's more cards, but I assume this method can be done across the board.
I'm not surprised by any means, you know, that it was only a matter of time before it was exploited or used widely.
Yeah, I think as crazy as it sounds, like hackers are going to get whatever, like nothing's
secure. Safe. Anything is a target for them.
Yeah. So, obviously, I think we will hear more about this. And I think if it becomes a thing, I think you might see hardware implementations on the side of NVIDIA, AMD, kind of, you know, just like how Intel does with their CPUs, maybe we'll see some stuff like that. But it's crazy that it's taken this long to discover that, you know? I mean, graphics cards have had memory on them for a while, like a long time, you know? So taking this long, maybe it's just because the system memory was easier to access or easier to exploit. I don't know.
Yeah. Or the amount of memory that's available now, to you, right, is makes it worth it.
Yeah. I mean, most graphics cards now are, I mean, at the minimum are at least 2 gigs.
Sure.
Then we go up like 3090 is 24 gigs. So you have a lot of space there to run whatever you need to run. So, yeah. Talking about graphics cards as well, and you might need to look into this because you always have issues when it comes to streaming. New NVIDIA broadcast updates. This is update 1.3. The biggest thing that I did see about this, and that's why I wanted to tell you this, Ryan, is the version 1.3 reduces VRAM usage by over 40%. That's a big thing with this. So if you do have NVIDIA broadcast update to the latest version, if you don't know what NVIDIA broadcast is, I'm using it. Ryan's using it right now. Basically, it's pretty awesome. Do you have a
shaker? I don't use it. I don't use NVIDIA broadcast. I only use RTX voice.
Okay. But it's just, do you have your shaker bottle?
No, but I mean, I have a water bottle or I can like clap.
It might pick up the clap, but go ahead.
It cuts it out. It cuts out the clapping, doesn't it? You can't hear me clapping. Yeah,
that's crazy. That's so crazy. So basically what NVIDIA broadcast or RTX voice, what it does is it gives you better audio. Again, I use it to take out the background noise. I have a fan behind me. I don't know if you guys can see it. It's like right there.
Oh, you got a new fan.
I got a new fan. Yeah. But yeah, I have a fan going, as you can see. But you don't hear the fan, at least I don't think you do. And like Ryan was just clapping. It's great software, but it can be taxing on some systems because it's for NVIDIA graphics cards, RTX specific. It will work on GTX cards now too, but RTX cards are better made for it because they have the tensor cores that use it. But like I said, the new version has a bunch of other stuff that they've added. But again, the biggest thing is that it reduces VRAM usage. And Ryan has issues with streaming sometimes his computer.
I have a couple ideas as to what it is, but
I think you should why don't you use NVIDIA broadcast?
Cause I don't know. I don't need any of the other, I don't have any use for the other options that it offers. Is like the camera adjustments, you know, the background.
Yeah. Blurring. I don't use them either. But I use the NVIDIA broadcast app. I don't use the other stuff.
I only have RTX voice.
Do they update RTX voice at all, though?
I don't know.
You might want to look into it.
I might.
Yeah, you might want to look into it. So if you do have RTX voice, definitely get the latest version. It should help you with VRAM usage, which is pretty cool. Big news, Ryzen 5000 series, which we've covered immensely on this show. It looks like prices are going down and availability is going up. So we had the massive shortage of Ryzen 5000 series chips. It appears as if that's not the case. Like you can find them pretty easily on Amazon, Newegg, stuff like that. But if you look at the prices, they're going down. Like the average prices are going down. You know, and this is right before we're supposed to have an Intel launch coming up. Like this is right before that, which is always good. Get people on your product before the next, before the competition comes out. But you can see, you know, these prices are going downward trend, which is pretty cool. You can see like in December 2020, prices were real crazy because there was hardly any availability for these chips. So
no, I think you're exactly right. You know, get that price a little lower, a little more affordable, make it more enticing, right? You may have someone that's on the fence as to which way to go. Oh, do I want to buy a 5000 series AMD or do I want to wait for Intel's next product? Oh, the extra, you know, savings I got here was enough to tip me one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
Smart.
What else was I going to say about this? I totally had a brain fart. I don't know what I was going to say now. I don't know. I just escaped my mind. It's one of those days. So That's what I was going to say, is that AMD has always been very aggressive with pricing, even on their 5000 series, as far as like deals, like we have what we have Black Friday coming up and like those type of deals. Like there's always AMD chips on sale. There's rarely ever Intel chips on sale during those things. So stay tuned for that as well. I think you'll see some good stuff there. 59 old man says, a 5900X is $494.99 on eBay. That's below it. Wasn't the MSRP on that $599? Could be wrong. Or was it $499?
On their site, they don't show. $499. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's, much cheaper, but it's not more than MSRP. Interesting stuff there. Also, it appears that Ryzen 6000 series APUs, they're calling those Rembrandt, are already in mass production. This is a rumor, but I think AMD is mass producing a lot of products that will launch around CES time. That's kind of what after reading a lot of these stories, it seems like that's the thing. And the reason that they're already in mass production for a lot of products is availability, right? You don't want to put out a new CPU and nobody can get it. Obviously that kills your sales, that kills the hype, that kills, like, if Intel's coming out with something in a month later or whatever, you want those sales to be there. So I think a lot of things on the AMD side are in mass production. It is suggested that AMD might announce the Rembrandt APUs at CES 2022, which is coming up here in January. So pretty cool stuff. I think that with the last couple launches, it has been hard to have like a lot of stock in CPUs, GPUs. But I think now though, that's like kind of like what they're doing is like, if it's ready to go, get them out there and, you know, have this like, have a bunch ready for the launch. Which kind of you would think would make more sense, but I think over the past year things were kind of so screwed up that you couldn't really do that.
No, I think just think of how many months they have of production before this launches, right? To get just ramp up and have this huge store of product, hopefully, that's available and hopefully is enough to meet demands.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. On the Intel next gen front. A Gigabyte Z690 Aorus Master and Aorus Elite were listed. We have these screenshots. This was by this Momomo guy who is really good. He's a really good leaker on Twitter for PC hardware stuff. Always very accurate for the most part. He didn't list what website these are from. They are from an Australian website, so the prices are a little bit different. This would convert to $572 US and $327 US for the Aorus Elite. The interesting thing here is that we are not moving to DDR5 for Z690. It is going to be DDR4 because, again, these are at least this list, DDR4 here. We don't know exactly when Alder Lake is officially coming out. It's supposed to be in October. The date, I think the rumor is October 11th. I think it's the one that's in my head. But in any case, that's the first leak we've seen of Z690.
I think so. Yeah. I'm not too surprised that we're not seeing DDR5 on this. Like, I'm not really.
Yeah.
I just feel like we haven't seen enough DDR5. Information anyways, right? For it to make sense for them to move to that.
We have seen a lot of announcements, but they're like, oh, this will be our DDR5. Here is a render of what it will look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, I'm always down for new motherboards.
Yeah, that's your thing.
That's my thing. So definitely excited for that. Also, Microsoft will be holding a Surface event on September 22nd. I've always heard such good things about Surfaces, but I just have never been into it. This thing I thought was always really cool. The, what's this thing called? This is the
Duo?
The right? Surface Duo 2. Well, the Surface Duo. But all the reviews that I saw of it was like, it was cool hardware-wise, but the software was just bad on it.
They had that video and it was like so like promising looking. You're like, oh my gosh, yes, this is exactly what this thing should do. And it looks great. I just don't think it lived up to expectations.
Yeah. So that's expected. Of course, new Surface laptops. They're going to be calling a new one the Surface Laptop Pro, possibly. Don't know what's going to be at this. I don't follow the Surface stuff all that much. Like when they come out with something new, we cover it, but it's like, I don't follow it like I would follow like CPUs or cases or anything like that. But it's pretty interesting. And it is, we don't have a story on the Apple thing, but Apple's iPhone, I think, event is on September 14th. Like I said, it's already coming to that time of year. It's launch season.
It's launch season. We're there.
Yeah, launch season. And again, launch season is typically laptops and phones for the holiday season. So they announce them September, October, sell them in November, December, you know, through that time period.
And,
so
keeping my eye on phone news and about ready for
what,
a new one.
I say
I'm ready. Pixel 4 XL.
Okay.
The only reason I would like consider getting or an upgrade, I've had it for 2 years, is that I'm out of space. Okay. It was only available up to 64 gigs and they don't offer, you know, an SD slot, so I can't expand it that way. No. I think there was a 128, but oh well.
Yeah, I have my iPhone 12. Which one is this? Is this the Pro? I don't know which one this is. But yeah, I got this 256 gig. I could have got it. I don't know if I could have got a 512. Because I was shooting a lot of video on this because it is, it's just, you know, with your phone and it shoots 4K video, which takes up a decent amount of space. But yeah, I remember like when I, you know, when the iPhones first came out, I had like an 8 gig and then you got like a 16 gig. And because Apple was one of the first ones that you couldn't upgrade the storage. Whatever you got, you were stuck with, and even that's this one, like that's that's like what I'm stuck with. So, well, that'd be kind of cool to you to get a new phone. It's always nice getting a new piece of tech that you use on a daily basis, right?
And 2 years went by fast with this, because I got it right when it came out, and I think it went fast because I wasn't like, you know, running out of space or feeling slow, right? It still doesn't feel slow at all. It feels pretty fast. And so I think that made the time go by quicker than being stuck with a slow phone or you're always having to fight storage and things like that. So maybe I won't. Maybe I'll wait.
That's the worst, is running out of storage. I remember on my older iPhone, you weren't able to take a picture because you were out of space.
It's all bugging me. It's like, hey, you should free up some space. Like, you got these pictures of text. Do you want to get rid of them?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too, is like, I'm one of those people that like never deletes a text conversation for some reason.
I don't either. Yeah. And I back them up
And like you can see, in iTunes, you can see like, you know, in mine's like text, like half of my storage. I'm like, I should just probably like delete all these old texts, or like, our friend Jack, like he has it after 30 days, it just auto deletes, which is kind of smart. But then, like, you could go, I always think, like, there's some incriminating stuff or, like, something that I might need in the future that's, like, in those text combos. I don't know what it would be.
If I could only go back to that conversation,
So my phone, I was just thinking about this, too. It's, like, it's not even that long ago because I remember going into the Apple store and I had to get my temperature taken.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that because all the craziness, so. So yeah, interesting stuff. Launch season is always fun. And for the Apple event, probably new phone, but they also say there's going to possibly be a MacBook or MacBook Pro announcement with M1X, mini LED displays, if you're into that kind of stuff. It is good to see Apple put some good tech into their laptops, as far as like a mini LED display would be.
Yeah.
Really, really nice to see on any laptop, whether it's Mac or not. But that's kind of the rumor going around as well. So our last piece of news here is Far Cry 6. Have you played a Far Cry game recently?
No. At all? I played Far Cry 1. That is it.
I think Far Cry 1, Far Cry 2, maybe Far Cry 3, I actually played the game. But Everything after that, I just use for benchmarking. Like Far Cry 5, we use for benchmarking for a very long time. I'll probably use Far Cry 6 for benchmarking. Maybe, probably. I don't know. But the official specs or official required PC requirements came out. 1080p GPU, RX 460 or GTX 960, so not bad. Recommended settings. Well, that's the lowest settings. Recommended settings for 1080p, RX Vega 64 or GTX 1080. 1440p would be 6900 XT on the NVIDIA side or NVIDIA RTX 3070. This is with ray tracing on to get over 60 FPS. 4K would be a RMD or RX. I think these are switched. This should be backwards. This should be a 6900 XT or RTX 3080 there. So not like, again, all these games, not crazy. The screenshots do look kind of cool, though, I have to say.
I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. Some sort of power tool attached to a gun, like, maybe, you know what I mean? It looks like an impact driver, but also a gun. I don't know what the weapon that is. It's weird.
Yeah. So if you want to play this at 1440p, you'll need a 6760, at least something that has 8 gigs of RAM or higher on the AMD side. That's with like ray tracing off. 2070 super or higher with ray tracing off. If you want to turn ray tracing on and get over 60 FPS, you need a 6800 XT or higher, or a RTX 3070. 4K, 6900 XT or 3080 or higher. Makes sense. So, okay. Yeah, the stories were always good in this too. But yeah, I just, the past three games, I just really
just
never
got interested in.
I just always used it for benchmarking, and I just never had a lot of time to play it. So,
yep.
I don't know. But it is, like I said, it is free. We are getting, I mean, this is going to be one of the bigger games for PC coming out. This comes out.
I don't think those specs are like too unreasonable either.
They're not. But again, Far Cry.
Well, but there was always, there also wasn't a 4K 60 FPS in there.
Yeah, that's 30. 4K 60 FPS with ray tracing on is very hard to do, even with a 3090. Oh,
yeah.
Far Cry was always a game to really push as far as graphics go. They're beautiful. Like, if you've ever played any of the Far Cry games, beautiful, absolutely beautiful to play. So, yeah, it comes out October 7th, available on pretty much everything, not only PC. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and available on Amazon Luna and Google Stadia as well. So, and then Old Man Said Far Cry 3 is free on the Ubisoft store. So if you guys want to check that out, go ahead and do that. Yeah, cool stuff. I'm trying to think if there's any other big games coming out this holiday season. I haven't really followed that much.
Last year about this time was when Cyberpunk was coming out, right?
Yeah, I believe.
Yep. So that one's gone. We're not going to have a new GTA for a while. I don't know if any big game, you know, Far Cry 6 like obviously is a PC, big game.
PC games, I don't think there is.
Is there a Red Dead? No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gonna be a boring
holiday. I guess season. We'll just stick with Apex.
You gotta hang out with the in-laws, I guess. During all these holiday parties and stuff, you know. So, talking about what we have coming up next week, I did talk about it last week. Is the Montec X3 mesh case. I've been getting this case a lot because I'm installing it and stuff like that. It's a rather interesting case. The big thing you want to know about this is it does come with 6 included fans, and it's only $70. So
RGB fans, even
technically RGB. We'll talk about that in the review. Okay. So yeah, definitely stay tuned that. Also, I'll be taking a look at another graphics card. This is the 6600 XT. We're taking a look at the one from ASRock. It's their Phantom Gaming D8GOC. Pretty cool looking card. Again, the 6600 XT is like your 1080p gaming card. So it'll be kind of interesting to check this one out. I just took it out of the box. So we will have that review for you next week as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. Of course, at the end of the podcast, we always talk about if we've done anything cool tech related, saw anything kind of cool tech related, any
tech wise. No, for me, other than I'm digging the feel and sound of this headset so far. We'll see how it goes tonight in our streaming. I watched a movie though, that I think came out pretty recently. It was The Green Knight.
Never heard of it.
It's like kind of in the King Arthur realm of type stuff. It's kind of
into that.
I call it, like, I don't want to call it an artsy movie, right? But it's not like a, it's a film, right? One of those, like, it's not an indie film necessarily, but it's good. I recommend it. It's cool.
Nice. I'll have to check that out. I'm into that time period and that kind of
stuff. Yeah, no, it was good.
I've been working on reviews, getting a lot of video stuff done. So my biggest thing is, and I had told Ryan this before, I was like, I'm going to do a video a week on top of all the reviews. And I haven't been doing that, but I'm getting back to it. I have two videos that are already shot. I just need to edit them. And then I'm going to try to keep that going. I know I always say that, but you should always say what you do so you actually do it.
Yeah, put it out there.
So definitely stay tuned for more video content. But if you guys didn't know, there is a new Matrix movie coming out, which is
exciting. You sent this to me and I didn't get a chance to look at it.
So yet. The cool thing about this is, so we've heard there was a new Matrix coming out for a while, but because of, I don't even want to say the word, but you know what's going on in the world, because they demonetized this, because if you say the word, so we're not going to say it, but you know, because of what's going on in the world, we didn't know when the new Matrix movie was going to come out. And, and for us, like tech people, like the Matrix, not only was an amazing action movie, but it centered around somebody who was a hacker. It was a computer related movie. I mean, that's why it was so cool to me. I'm sure that's probably why they were great movies. So a new one's coming out. Keanu Reeves is in it. But they launched this new website, which we have linked in our show notes. Definitely check it out. It's called the choice is yours. whatisthematrix.com. So when you bring it up, you choose the red pill or the blue pill. Which one does he actually take? I forget. Blue pill, right?
I don't even remember. I don't know. So, I feel like he took the red pill.
Okay, so we'll take the red pill, right? So you take this and it brings up this video, which I'm sorry the audio won't come through.
He takes the red pill.
Okay, so the cool thing about this is really cool. Bring this up here and brings up this video. I'm going to mute it for me. So it brings up part of this video from the, it's part of like the little teaser trailer type thing. But the real, and it, I'll just let it play for a second. You can see some of what's going on.
Yeah, like a clip there from the original Matrix.
Yeah. But the cool thing, which is going to come up here in a second, it's like, it says like you have no time of reality. There it is right there. 6:24. It is 6:24 right now on the West Coast. And it says it in the video. And it brings up that graphic of what time it is, where you are exactly. Isn't that cool?
It's neat.
That's something different. Like, how does it know? And like, I assume that's AI, right? Oh, I think my computer just froze. Close that window. So I think that's AI that does it. So basically, if you didn't watch it, if you're listening on audio, you go to this Matrix website, you have a blue pill or a red pill, you select one of them, and it brings up this video. And the video is playing, and basically it says you have no sense of reality. It's like it was 6:24. So it says it's 6:24 right now where you are. Mm. And like somebody's saying that.
Okay, so it would have been more impactful if we heard it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually telling you the time where you are right now the time shows up on the video. And I assume that's just like AI or whatever doing that. I mean, that's the only way could be done. Unless they recorded every one, every time. Like, which doesn't make doesn't.
Well,
make
you only need like a certain number of time recordings before you have them all, obviously. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's really cool because you're like, how do they know what time it is where I'm at?
So and, what if you like connect to a VPN and like
I was going
to
try that.
Have a different time zone, right? And see what it does.
Yeah, I was going to try that, but I assume what happens is when you click on the one of the pills, it records like your it gets your the time where you are, and then that forwards that to the video, and then
it well, that's why I asked. Yeah, for VPN, it knows your IP location.
Yeah, right?
So that's what it bases that timepiece on.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. There are like four separate like teasers. They're not full trailers. It looks cool. I always say that these like this isn't a remake, but I always say that these like years later, like you know, this is 10 years after the last one. Yeah,
first one came out in 99.
Yeah, so years later is net like they're just never as good. I can't imagine this would be better. Like the second two were never better than the first, in my opinion. Yeah. So I don't expect it to be amazing. I just hope they don't screw this up. Like there's some remakes and there's some years later ones that they just completely made really bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
And even, I mean, I know people are going to hate me for this, but even some of the Star Wars were like, what have you done? You know? So, yeah. So that's just what I, you know. But in any case, guys, we are going to play some games because it is Wednesday night. That means game night. We're going to be over on Twitch. Ryan will have the stream up here momentarily. Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers. Me playing Apex Legends. Ryan had like a rage quit. He just like completely rage quit last time. And he didn't have these awesome headphones on because I was like, how did you not hear that guy coming behind you and killing you? And he totally did. And Ryan's like, I'm an idiot. And they just like logged off. So
we'll I sat there dead and watched you guys win, and then I was like, nope, screw this, I'm out of here.
Yeah, so we will be playing Apex Legends over on Twitch. Thanks everybody for coming out for the first time, people, for our regulars like old man. Good to see you guys in the live chat. As a reminder, we are here every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, and I guess we will see everybody next week.